Welcome everybody to the City Brew Tours Beer Club, CBTBC, as we like to say. Welcome. We got a great new city, great friends, old and new. Welcome, Mike. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Jonathan?
I'm doing wonderful because I get to drink, which is always a good night. That means it's a great night. And we get to have some beers from a city that you get to drink fairly close to and have some beer from. I'm not so much. That is Anaheim, California, which is literally on the other side of the country from me. So I'm excited to have some of these fantastic beers from breweries that have been around, some for a very long time, others not so much, but definitely looking forward to going on this journey of having some, you know, hazies. And then we're also going to enjoy this really nice, you know, golden stout. As we were talking earlier, is it a stout? Is it not? And this is a journey that we will go on as we go through the day. But for all those that are listening as well, you know, grab that beer. Those that are on the live stream, grab that beer. I'm thirsty. Mike, you are thirsty. So let's grab that Cloud Shrine from Unsung. Let's crack that open. And, you know, as we're cracking this open, you know, Anaheim is known for Disney, like, right? Like, that's what it's known for. Oh, that's a nice crack.
I've been several times.
And, you know, but the really cool thing is that even though Disney was made, like, they made the entire park in 365 days, which is insane originally. But that whole region was actually, like, orange and, like, nut groves. And then it was, like, spinoff of, you know, wine country being in Orange County. And then, but now it is a beer city. And speaking of beer city, this beer, it looks like orange juice.
It's lively.
Yeah, it is. Oh, it smells so good. It smells so good.
Oh man, yeah, it's got a great citrus aroma here.
Beautiful color.
Well, cheers everyone. Cheers. Happy webinar.
Oh yeah. That's what you want.
Wow.
That's what you want. Yeah.
Got a lot of bite. It's got a nice citrusy bitter finish, which I like.
So it's like, for me, this is like the opposite of like a West Coast, where, or like opposite of what most hazies are, where it's like citrus and then that bitterness lingers, because it's like the bite and then the citrus lingers for me on this one, which is kind of fun. Really, really fun, honestly. And
effervescent, you know, even though I'm getting a big head on it, it's super effervescent.
Yeah.
Not carbonated.
Super. And Mike, you've been to Disney. Have you been to Anaheim but for any other reasons? Been there?
Never.
Before? Never?
Always go for Disneyland.
Yeah.
My lovely wife's family are one of those families that loves going to Disneyland as often as possible. The California people, Northern California, but making the trip to Disneyland has been something that but she and her family have done for years. And of course, I've been a part of the family for a long time. So I've been to Disneyland. I went once as a kid with my family. And so since then, I think I've been 5 times. Okay. I've been to Disneyland 5 times.
Nice.
And there's been at least 2 other trips where I managed to not go. There was one day where everyone was going and Bricken's dear grandmother was not feeling well. She was in her 90s, and she wasn't going to be able to go to Disney that day. And she also has a family where everyone wants to jump in and sacrifice themselves. You're like, I'll stay with grandma. And I'm quietly going, I'll stay with grandma. And finally, Bricken, my wife, she goes, Michael is staying. He doesn't want to go to Disney. And grandma and I had a lovely day together.
Did you day drink with grandma?
I don't think I did that day, no.
Oh.
But I had some lovely pie at Marie Callender's.
I mean, I feel like that's also acceptable.
Yeah, had
Who doesn't love
pie.
pie?
I went
Yeah.
bird watching. It was a nice day.
Oh, that's lovely. Oh, now I want to go bird watching. I feel like this beer would be very good for bird watching.
Yeah.
Just like nice, sit out, sunny,
A little
and
bit of a
enjoy.
Gose quality.
A little bit there, right? A
A
little bit
little
of.
bit of umami flavor to it. Slight.
Psyched.
In a good way. Maybe not umami,
Yeah.
but almost salty. It's got a
Salty? Well, we could always talk to our friend
I got to
Chris and
sip it
see.
again. Hang on. Let me get one.
Yeah. And see, Chris's opinion on this beer as he's sipping there as well. Chris, welcome. How are you doing?
I'm doing excellent, man. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Of course. So I always like to ask, how many times have you drank this beer?
This beer in particular is one of our rotating beers, so we
Okay.
only brew it one time around. Anytime we do a hazy, it tends to be on this citrusy side. So I pound these a few times in a row, but I used to really be into hazies more when I started for the company, and then just sometimes you drink too much of something and you start leaning towards more variation. So I've been really on our lighter beers lately, our Lumino, our Hoppy Pilsner. I still love a hazy every once in a while, but I save these for the nights where I'm just like, I just want to have one beer and be done with it, have one with dinner, just take it from there. But I always love a good hazy, and yeah, they really did it well with this one. Like you guys were saying, it's got that orange hue to it. The citrusy right off the nose, kind of a bit of a dankness, almost get some ripe mango in there. And this combination of hops, the Simcoe and the Citra, the Motika, I think it pairs really nicely with just like a burger, or I'll have it with pizza sometimes. It's a killer beer, and it's great for these days that are starting to get a little warmer in SoCal. You can just have something that tastes a little bit like orange juice, start your day off right. Sometimes when I'm in the brewery in the morning before I'm on my route, I get a little breakfast beer in there if they're brewing something, I get to taste it. So that's always a nice way to start the day.
Well, I
Oh,
feel like that's
well,
just like
please.
sticking in with the tradition of Orange County, right? You got the orange grove, so you might as well have an orange-ish beer. Like you're just like, oh, I'm just paying homage to Orange County, right? Like, that's what you're doing. And basically I'd find an excuse to drink a beer anytime. So anytime I can pay homage to something. Yeah, no, I think that's I'm loving this, and I know people that are drinking along loving this as well. And it's cool because since this is a rotating one, like everyone that's has this box, everyone that's listening, this got super lucky with this of like having one that not only is delicious and but if you only do it like once a year or so, then besides coming to you guys, now everyone gets to have this. It's great.
Yeah, it's nice to always have some new stuff in the rotation. It keeps people excited about new beers coming out. Funny enough, the owner, Mike, he's really into West Coast IPAs, and when the whole boom of hazies came, he was a little hesitant to jump on board and start brewing hazies, because he, at the end of the day, just wants to brew a beer that he likes, and he's really good at doing that. But he jumped on board, and turns out he's really good at brewing beers that he's not the biggest fan of either. So yeah, we've really been lucky to be able to kind of hone in our hazy recipes, and we change it up here and there. Of course, people do like to have new stuff and see new can art and see the new name of a beer. But if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So we try not to mess with the brewing process of the hazy. Of course, adding different hops in there, and changing things up, using different additives, is always in play. But we try to make sure we're brewing something that we all want to drink, and even those of us who don't like a beer that much, as long as we know it's brewed well, that we're happy to be giving it to the people,
Nice. That's really cool. And with Unsung, and like obviously been talking with you guys, working with you guys for a while now, but like for all of our listeners, like where does the name Unsung come from? Like how did, besides Mike just wanting to make good beer, what is the journey of Unsung? Because there's also, if you look up all the names are all unique, you know, they all have these characters with it. So what is like kind of the journey of Unsung from inception to now?
Yeah. So Mike, the owner, he is originally from Midwest up in Ohio, and started off brewing wine with one of his cousins, and really liked it, but figured wine is a little bit too constrained to what you're able to do with it. And so he started doing his own brewing at home, and started winning some awards here and there. Then later on moved out to Minnesota with his wife for a little bit with an insurance. Finally made it out here in 2010 into Anaheim. And since then, he's been really focusing on brewing, and started off just volunteering his time at some of the breweries down here. And then in 2014, that was the start of Unsung itself. We started off at our warehouse in Tustin, which isn't open to the public. Tustin's a little weird with their zoning, and so we couldn't have the retail side of it. But from 2014 to 2015, it was just the brewery in Tustin. And so we distributed then, been self-distribution the whole time. But then 2015 rolls around, and we finally got our tap room in Anaheim. This is where Mike went, and that's been a great spot for us to have. Mike explains it as that year between 2014 and 2015 was good before the retail side of it, because they had time to make a lot of shitty beer and get the kinks out. And then by the time we actually got our tap room in place, we were being received pretty well by the locals. People liked our beer. And the idea of Unsung was this whole boom that happened in Anaheim around 2014 to 2016, where all these craft breweries started popping up. There's also this kind of craft beer geek culture that sees a lot of overlap with like comic book culture and superhero culture, which Mike has always been like a comic book fan and stuff. And funny enough, a lot of those same people are really into beer too. And Mike saw that and figured that would be a good way to kind of capitalize on the brand. And the other idea behind it is that Unsung is referring to like the unsung heroes of the brewing industry. I got the easy job. I'm the sales guy. I just go talk to people. People like Jimmy, people like Mike are the guys that are in there every day doing the milling, doing the brewing, getting everything done, doing all the cleaning, all the sort of monotonous tasks that they find joy in, and is really what makes a good beer, what separates a good brewery from a great brewery. And Mike is super passionate about just making good beer. And even when he hired me on as sales rep, he was honest with me. He's like, if I could, I wouldn't have a sales team. If people just liked the beer, they would order it. And I'm like, that's the kind of guy I want to work for. Somebody who's concerned about making beer. And that's funny, being on the buying side at a bar before this, I met a lot of sales reps. I went through a lot of breweries, and sometimes people are just concerned about hitting their numbers. But I found here, Mike is just concerned with making good beer, and just kind of having the idea of never settling. I'm sure you'll get the same sense from Jimmy when you talk to him, but both of them are, you know, their main concern is making good beer and doing whatever it takes to get to that.
Listen, the sales rep is an unsung hero as well. You're bringing that beer to places where it might not be.
The whole ecosystem, you know,
beer drinkers, to that great beer. So thank you for your service.
Absolutely. I'm happy to do it.
I was lucky enough to visit the tap room last year. Great spot and a great little neighborhood they have there. It's called, what is it called? The Packers District or
the Anaheim. Yeah. The Anaheim Packing District is right across the street from us. They've got a great selection of little bars and restaurants in there that you can go check out. I mean, that whole area of Anaheim has just kind of bloomed into a great place to go just kind of enjoy yourself. People who, a lot of time coming from Disneyland, or when it's time to, you know, put the kids to bed and you want to go out and grab a drink and have a good time in downtown Anaheim, you can. It's a really cool spot.
Yeah, Jonathan, I mean, you could spend the whole day there. There's lots of different restaurants and at least three breweries that I noticed in the area. I believe Monkish is one. I really enjoyed. And is there a third one right nearby?
There's one, used to be Modern Times, but since then it's turned into Villains Brewing, which it's funny because it's kind of been like unsung. Has we have a lot of superhero sort of themes, and then right down the street is Villains, and they've been great for everybody too, because they were so hyped up that when they opened first, they had like 2-3 hour waits, and the runoff would just come down to Unsung, grab some beers, and it's cool. Well, there's a really cool community of brewers and breweries out here that it's worth really coming to check out. You can do a whole day of just going from brewery to brewery. My buddy, actually, his girlfriend threw him a surprise party, and we all picked him up on a bus and went around to all the different breweries in Anaheim, and it's just, there's so much variety, and everybody specializes in what they do, and it's cool to see just the amount of people that are willing to come out and check out a brewery and just enjoy the beer. It's a really cool community.
I'm sorry, I'm just enjoying the beer. Let me just be me honest. Too. I'm just drinking this.
I'm almost halfway through this baby. Yeah,
I know. It's that's a problem with especially with something like this, where it does start off with that, the bit of that bite, and I would call it almost like a like an orange like pith, almost like you're almost getting like that, the zest of it. But as it's warming up, it's getting smoother for me. Yeah. And it's going to be coming. I'm going to be drinking it very fast. It's so I have to pace myself.
How orangey you can get a flavor without using orange. It's
it's pretty incredible. And I mean, a lot of the hops already kind of have that hop bite they're talking about. It almost scratches the back of your throat a little bit, especially when they're fresh out of brewing, or they still need to sit for a couple of days. But as it levels out and that citra, and that just citrusy flavor comes in, it's a great pairing. I think it's a great combination.
Now, with you guys doing like these hazies, and like, you know, this originally wasn't like one of like Mike's go-to, what is the, especially as a sales rep, what is the craziest beer you guys have done that you have to like convince people is a good beer?
Oh my God, I think it's the easiest one that I can think of right now is we do a beer every Christmas, and it's an Imperial Blonde, I want to say that. I've only had it once. It's only been with the company for the year. It's called St. Nick R. Doodle. It's supposed to taste like a snickerdoodle. And people were talking to me about it. People were asking me some of the accounts that I went to. And they're like, oh, are you guys gonna do the St. Nick again? I was like, oh, yeah, I think so. I think we have plans of doing it. I haven't tried it yet. And then we just brewed a batch for it, and it's spot on. It's a snickerdoodle. And I've never had anything quite like that. But Mike and Taryn, our head brewer, figured out the recipe for it, and people love it every year. It's really good. It's cool to see just something that I never would have expected to try, because, of course, with the hazies in the West Coast, you kind of get those anywhere. But then you have something random pop up, like a snickerdoodle flavored beer, and it kind of blows you away.
No, that's, and I always love that, like, especially if there's something like a snickerdoodle, or, and obviously, like, you could throw snickerdoodle cookies in there, or you can, like, I've had some with, like, thin mints, or sorry, mint cookies, chocolate mint cookies, if we're not affiliated with Girl Scout. But, like, you can put those in there. But to create the flavors of, like, to break down what are the flavors of a snickerdoodle, of like that sugar, the vanilla, the cinnamon, you know, like that's what I always love. You like trying to figure out as a home brewer, but then also like when brewers are like, oh yeah, we can do this. Like, but like how, but like, but they do it. And it is now I have to come. When is that going to be released, and when do we have to make the trip?
Christmas every year. You can get it Christmas everywhere. We distribute it too, so it's not just in a tap room. But yeah, every year around December or late November, we brew it. And sometimes of course, they always do a bunch of random kind of one-off stuff at the tap room, but that has been the most surprising beer I've had from Unsung, and they do a lot of great stuff.
Nice. Can you pair it with a snickerdoodle cookie?
You can. I mean, it's a little bit too much sugar for me. I don't like sweets a whole lot, but it was great. I'll tell you what.
Just one cookie, Chris. Just
You
one.
can dip it in like some milk. No.
Yeah.
You have the interesting styles of like that snickerdoodle, and like obviously you're doing these really cool traditional styles, West Coast, East Coast, IPAs, hoppy pilsners, and everything. But I think the one thing that draws everyone is the can art.
Yeah.
And so, like, obviously, each of these, like, I know each can or each beer is a character. So I guess where do you guys get the can art? Is it like one artist? Do you have different ones? And does the art inspire the name, or does the name inspire the art?
It can kind of go either way. Pretty free flown when it comes to the names of these rotating beers, because it's just a one-off. I wasn't around when we were naming all of the mainstay beers, but I know we do have a select group of artists that we use for the can art. And occasionally, they've just toyed around with trying some like AI designs, but I find that the stuff that an actual artist makes looks It typically looks a little bit cool, looks a little bit more well thought out. When it comes to the names, sometimes the character can just kind of come to somebody, or it's the idea of thinking of a character based on the beer. So, for example, with our Mexican lager Lumino, the idea of a baseball player from El Salvador who kind of uses his superpowers to save a woman. We do a lot of really cool stuff, and sometimes it's just as simple as we'll sit down, we have a beer, and we're like, what do we want to name it? I'm sitting there, just I'll be in the brewery in the morning before I start my route, and they just like we'll just start shooting some names out, and some of them are duds, some of them don't sound good at all, and then some of them are cool, and so it's cool to be a part of the process. We're a pretty small group, and it was really cool for me, especially because this has been my first job, real job, out of college. And I've always been really interested in entrepreneurship, and Mike is real, real open about just, anytime you have any suggestions, throw them out there. And if there's anything that you don't like I'm doing, or if there's anything that you think could be doing better, let me know. And whether that shows in the creative process of naming these beers or coming up with the can art, or just the day to day of working on my routes and just getting the beer out there. It's a really cool experience, and so there's a lot of creativity that goes into it, and it's fun to see. It's really cool to see.
That's really cool. And how many times do you people choose your beer based on the can art versus like what the beer is?
I'd say, especially as a sales rep, I see the beer on I see the beer from all these breweries on the shelves, and whether it's Whole Foods or BevMo, and a lot of the time, of course, people are looking for a specific style, but if they're in the section of the style they want and they see some can art that catches their eye, I think that can make the world a difference. And of course, there's going to be places that have just more subtle stuff or have a specific style, but what I like about Unsung is like we really have kind of free range on which way we can go with our can art. So of course there's the comic book theme, but then we can kind of go into like an astral space theme and just make some really cool stuff. And this collab that we just did with Noble a few months ago, the Peachenheimer, it was great. It was during the time where Barbie and Oppenheimer had came out, and so we were doing this collab beer on this peach sour, and it was actually the Noble Ale Works artist that they use came up with this super cool picture. It looks like a mushroom cloud made of peaches, and it's there's so much way different ways you can turn these names into like really interesting looking can art.
No, yeah, and I know for myself, like, I don't want to judge a beer by its cover, but I do. Like, I feel like we all do. But sometimes it's like both ways, right? Sometimes you look for the super like minimalist of like, oh, that's like just has beer. So let me try that. Or if it's something like the Cloud Shrine, it's like you got these robots and they're like, there's all these colors and everything. Like, it's like, oh, that's really cool. So I feel like it's like, it can go both ways. But yeah. Definitely it's like, it is an important part. And I think that also helps, as like for yourself as a sales rep to also be able to like sell these of like, if all of it just says beer, like now, how do you distinguish like which one is like, how do you buy this one more?
Yeah, you gotta pull people in, and you know, sometimes a shiny new label is exactly what you need to pull somebody in and get excited about beer. It's funny, Mike, of course, we'll spend some time on this, but the owner is always just like, he tries to get a cool baseline for what the name is, what the can art's gonna be, leaving the rest up to the discretion of his artists. And then he's back to brewing, man. He's all about making beer.
This is gorgeous. Yeah, I love that. Can't see it.
Oh,
never mind.
I don't think it's gonna show up on there. We'll find it. We'll find it. We'll share it for the people. Go to Unsung's website, and you'll see the Peachenheimer, which I also love that name. I think that's great.
You're right, John. Right. Sometimes the can art can be too much, like, and you can't. Yeah. You can't find what the beer is on there, you know, like what, you don't even know what style it is. So that's, it can sometimes bite you with extra art. But yeah, I think that Unsung has got a nice balance because you really can see what the beer is, and it's got a really cool art on here. I always like good can art for sure.
Yeah. No,
Noble Beer Works.
You know, with Noble Beer Works, I'm pretty much done with my beer, and I know Mike's pretty much there. Before we bring on, we transition, I do want to ask you, Chris, is there, you know, I know that the business is growing, you guys are trying new things. What is next for Unsung? And, is there anything you want to plug of like, get our people to, besides just coming and drinking the beer?
Well, yeah, of course. If you want to check out our Instagram page and see what we're putting out every week, that's a cool spot to go take a peek at that. In terms of the future, things are looking up. I mean, we've really gotten back to our pre-COVID levels of production, and just getting people out here to see the brewery would be great. We're looking to expand, actually open up another tap room. Possibly in Costa Mesa, so be on the lookout for that. But yeah, things are going good. And if you guys want to learn some more about Unsung, you can check us out on Instagram at Unsung Brewing.
Nice. And I feel like because you guys, we just talked about the Peachenheimer and we just talked about this, I feel like we should bring Jimmy on as we start to transition to our next beer as well. Which is that nutty sauce. So for everyone drinking along with us, grab that nutty sauce. That open. There it is. Also, I mean, and I will tell you, I did not do this on purpose, but the fact that both of them have very similar color schemes, I feel like it's just appropriate. Like, it works.
That's because Unsung's popping us. That's how it works.
Oh, that's okay. That's what it is. All right. There you go. Yeah, so we're pop this open. We're going to try this one as well. And
now my camera, wait a second. No, this is what it looks like, I think.
Yeah.
No, you're right. It's not. It's supposed to look like that.
I had one the other day that I had a yellow beer and it looked like this color, but Zoom can trick you sometimes. But this, yeah, that looks.
Yeah. It's pretty much the right color there. Nice. All right, there. Cheers.
Cheers, guys. Thank you for having us on.
Oh, smell that coffee on there.
Yeah, that's a golden stout. There it is.
But what is a golden stout? I mean, you might
know
more
than
me.
You tell me. You tell me.
Right? It's like the cold IPA. What quite is this?
What is it? Yeah, it's golden. It's a stout. There's a lot of
things. This is my take on it. It is more or less. It's more or less a blonde, where you use coffee to turn it into a stout like roastiness, but you balance it against the lactose. The lactose kind of brings them all back together, and you get this balance of sweetness from the lactose and the coffee that gives the roastiness that makes it feel like a stout. And it's just it's something different. And a lot of people have done it, but I feel like this isn't my recipe. But I feel like the way it was done here is kind of a standard bearer for the what the style itself, as obscure as it is, kind of, because you say white, I mean, what's a white style really?
Right.
Great flavor.
No, it's and this is what I tell people, like when I'm like leading tours or I'm on the podcast and everything, is like beer can you we all make judgments off the color, right? Like we see a light color, we're like, oh, it's gonna be nice, and be like, when we're looking at that hazy, we're like, that's a hazy, it's already gonna have that citrus, that fruity. When you see something like this, you don't like expect this really nice, rich coffee. Like it honestly does taste like coffee with cream in it. Like that's what it tastes like.
And that's what it's supposed to taste like. And all right. So the weird thing about this beer is truly it's supposed to be, when we serve it on draft, it's on nitro. So when you pour it the way it's supposed to be poured, you get that cascading foam that's much lighter, much more orange. It gives it a much more appealing appearance than it is in the can. But nonetheless, we run it through CO2, and we have fans who just love the CO2 version much more than the nitro, even though the nitro from an appearance standpoint is better. And for me personally, a texture standpoint is better.
Right.
But I mean, it's each their own.
I love a nitro. Yeah.
Yeah. It does add that smoothness. Probably brings out the sweetness a little bit more, a little more of those subtleties. But I mean, also never having had it on nitro, this is a fantastic beer as well. It's great in the CO2 as well. It's this is, if I'm want a golden stout, this is what
it's a very good recipe. It's a balanced recipe. You know, you make it and you're I'm happy to make it. You know, just it, the person who made it is one of the best in the business. So just to be able to make it behind him is fun.
Nice. Perfect. And as we are drinking all of this, welcome, Jimmy.
Thanks,
welcome,
guys.
Yeah, welcome. for those that are, if you're just now tuning in, of course, tell us about Noble Ale Works. Like, obviously, you guys have done collabs with Unsung. You know, you guys have been around for a while. What has been that journey? And, you know, obviously, like, this is, as you mentioned, this isn't necessarily your recipe, but you guys do also do some other amazing beers as well. Tell us a little bit about you, about the brewery.
The thing to say about Noble, which is, and I don't mean to be arrogant by any means, I mentioned it earlier with Unsung, is that Orange County has kind of just blossomed recently within the last couple of years. And I feel like Noble Ale Works is basically, through Evan Price, has been the vanguard of making that happen. So like San Diego was doing their amazing things. We had, you know, everyone down there, Pizza Port, Ballast Point, AleSmith, Pure now, probably the best brewery in the world, North Park, right? But and by the same time, we had Evan Price up here, who was doing some of the best beers in the world at Noble. And that became Green Cheek. And a lot of what happened here prior is just something that a lot of people have tried to take over. So Chris was talking about Villains Brewing coming up. This sets aside, you know, it's kind of the polarization against Unsung. That's Evan's old assistant brewer over there. So like you see this community built, and coming out like after that, one of the old monkish brewers that you guys are talking about, John Siemens, was head brewer at Brewery X, and he's now a brewer over at Gamecraft, came out of Noble. There's a good history of brewers who've come out of here who are notable. And I'm just happy to just take it on right now. And when we came in, we were in the post-pandemic era, just coming out of the pandemic. So we really had to create things from scratch again over here. And I was lucky enough to have just a really, really good team that I still have for the most part. And we've just rebuilt some of the old recipes. So Noble is really well known for their IPAs. We did collabs back in the day with some of the best, like Cellar Maker, just things that people want to see again. It's hard being in that role to produce those kind of beers in a post-pandemic market when you don't have the ingredients that you need.
But at the same time, there's Naughty Sauce, which just, you know, it's that beer that's so unique and so different that it captures the crowd. And so we're just happy to make it and be a part of this. But at the same time, we've used that base, that just, you know, natural brand essence that we still have to produce. Because we don't fight in the IPA war, even though we make good IPAs and we're proud of them. Right now, we're just in the seltzer market. And I know a lot of brewers, like, and me personally, coming from a background over at Ballast Point, being in the R&D team over there, getting to the seltzer game and really putting my mark on it has been, it's you know, when a market is very saturated, like we have here in OC, we have amazing breweries, make amazing IPAs. I mean, the biggest thing is nobody's really touching the seltzers. So that has been our game recently, and to the point where we work with a lot of the Club 33 artists who are the big tiki artists who draw our cam labels. You guys are talking about that from Unsung. And we're lucky enough to work with some of the best, like just in the business themselves. If you go to Disneyland, you see a lot of their artwork on the walls and stuff.
Mm.
So that's what we've been working recently. So like we do for our seltzers, a lot of our seltzers are tiki cocktail based. So like 10%ers. Where we run through very viscous, but thin at the same time, they all taste like cocktails. And we've been lucky enough with the flavor to have like Jeff Granito, Tiki Tony come through, and they draw our can art for all the beers, the seltzers that we brew in can. So that's where Noble's come from, being one of the best, the trendsetters. In a sense, I know that a lot of brewers would look down on us, but to be trendsetters in a different game, you know, like to be, because we have a lot of people following us now just based on these tiki seltzers. But it's not beer, and I get that.
But, you know, I guess from like a brewing perspective, like it can be similar, but it's also can create kind of a new fun way to set the trends, right? Like if you look at breweries like in the Northeast, like over here in New York, like before hazies, like it was all like the West Coast styles, and then somebody had to start it, right? And so somebody had to be like, yeah, let's start doing a hazy, or, you know, as all trends happen, somebody has to start it. So if Noble happens to be the trendsetter of seltzers, then there you go.
So be it. You know, cool with it too. It's not a bad thing by any means. You know, you just, you try to do what you're going to do. And sometimes you get lucky and things happen and people follow you. And I'm not saying we were the first by any means, but like we were lucky enough to have people who are notable follow us and help us out with this whole scheme. I need to say Spanish Marie is probably the best in the world at this. So I don't want to take any credit away from them.
Yeah. Well, and also a 10% seltzer that sounds amazing.
Right. Seriously, you drink one of them and you were good. Yeah. You drink a single one and it says it's like a golf trip. You want to go golfing? Just have one.
Yeah. That sounds like a very, very good day.
Jonathan and I are beer guys. So like, we're like, yeah, we want a beer to be a beer and we love beer, but yeah, we're both married to people that do not drink beer. Yeah. And we drag those people to breweries. So
I'm just saying, you hit it on the head. You hit it on the head.
That is exactly, and I love what you do. Open the market. Yeah, it's just more inclusiveness. I love it. I love it.
And I mean, everybody's been working for it for a long time, and I feel like we'd made an attempt, and I feel like we did a good job, like trying to draw females over to the brewing market. Like I feel like there's a way to work through that with the hazies too. Like but it's always been in this industry something that we've always been trying to, you know, capture.
Yeah.
And it's meaningful. It's totally meaningful.
And I guess like, because definitely with like those seltzers of like, it gets the non-beer drinkers in there. And a lot of people would say that, you know, that does limit kind of what you can do. But if you're replicating cocktails, then, you know, you're already hitting what people are wanting to drink. But how does the seltzer world affect your current, previous and new beer recipes? Or have you noticed that that's like changed the trajectory on how you guys approach a beer recipe, whether it is a hazy or a sour or anything like that?
I think that, yeah, that point you made at the end, it does influence us a lot. We see that sweetness come through, And it's always a balancing game. So like what we're doing now, as opposed to trying to incorporate the aspects of the seltzers into the to our beers, is we tend to do shandies. So one of our big ones is like we have a pink lemonade seltzer that we've worked with to we put in a certain like exogenous souring agents to it that makes it represent a very like famous pink lemonade drink from In-N-Out here. And what we do is we'll just, it's 7% and we just blend it with our IPAs and it turns out we get a different tropical flavor every time. It's weird. Sometimes we'll get guava for one, sometimes we'll get mango. And it's, I know it sounds bizarre to say it, but it's the synergy between the two flavors work really, really well. And so we're just going with the shandy aspect right now, as opposed to blending it. But the, I mean, just go beyond that. What the seltzers do is it really takes one person to make as big of a batch as you need of one of the flavors. Which is, you think about it that way, right? You're going to make a huge batch of seltzer that's going to make a lot of money, and it only takes one guy 8 hours to make it. That pays for all the ingredients we need to have good beer. And that's the big thing, is it funds us getting hot lots, us going and choosing consistent products that we love, that we know we can play with to get back to Noble where it used to be. That, I mean, that's the goal here. The goal here is, even though it is what it is on a seltzer game, at the end of the day, we're just trying to push a better IPA than anyone's ever made, regardless of how crazy that is. Because if you're not doing that, I feel in the game, you're not really competing. You're not trying to be like, I get it from an owner standpoint to make a solid profit, but from a brewer standpoint, you know, you want to force the mission. You want to push everybody forward, regardless of whether they're good enough or not, right? Because sometimes you'll have that great idea for somebody who's amazing. We'll use it. And you help out, especially when you're surrounded by a bunch of amazing breweries like Unsung and what they've done lately. Mike has been amazing for us. Amazing for us. Like Mike and Taryn are rad. And but you have everybody else here. You have all the people who've won the medals, you know, who know what they're doing and they're cool enough to help us out. So maybe at the end of the day, we'll get to where they say we should be. But hopefully along the way, we'll help them out. Maybe we might get lucky. But I mean, it's a fun game. Nonetheless, if you don't have fun doing this, you shouldn't be in the game. That's my thing.
Love it.
100%. And that's the one thing that I have always loved being involved in the beer industry, is that sure, it's a business. Like you have to make money to make good beer. There, which just naturally creates competition. But on the flip side, it's such a collaborative environment. And as you spoke in the beginning, you know, you guys have cranked out assistant brewers and like come in from other places to you guys and then gone out to other breweries as well. And that's not unique to Anaheim. That is the industry as a whole. You know, if you are hanging out a brewery, talking to the brewers, and like I have this when I'm in New York, you better be careful who you talk about, because they might be really good friends or not so good friends. But it is that, you know, everyone knows everybody. But if you are in a tight community that has had a boom very quickly within the past 10 years, 18 years, which has been in all these communities around the world, around the US in particular, you guys are going to work with each other and you're going to know all of these brewers, which is what I always like of does create awesome, you know, partnerships, which I wish that I could drink the Peachenheimer, but, you know, stuff like that of like creating, you know, creating these new beers together. And, but also like, it also pushes you as well. So it's like, hey, we're all working together, but your IPA is better than mine. So now I got to make mine better than yours. And so it's, working with, you know, that, you know, just the way that, unfortunately, the way that capitalism is, but at the same time, collaboration of also cheering each other on at the same time.
Yeah.
No, 100%. You respect everybody in the game. Yeah. And I think that your point to be your IPA is better than, you know, mine. Nonetheless, I say that with Mike. I mean, they're better than ours, but I want to know how. And I care enough to tell them what I know that they don't know to tell me how I can make mine as good as theirs while taking something from someone else to make it better than theirs, you know, and then laughing at them afterwards. That's, you know.
Yeah, I know Mike appreciates that. Mike is real happy to share all the knowledge that he has and really get everything he can from the people in the community too. But I haven't even gotten to talk to Jimmy that much, but just seeing the similarities between you and Mike,
Oh yeah.
it's hilarious.
Me and Mike are two peas in a pod. Like, I think I'm the only person he has not said bad things to get about for some reason.
We'll see what happens after this podcast.
Yeah, but... this one caught up.
Oh, nice. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm just enjoying the beer and enjoying the conversation right now. And I know that a lot of our viewers right now and listeners are also very much enjoying the IPA that we got from you guys as well. Strong, danky. Giraffes are cool, which is,
dude, they're cool, man.
I mean,
they're
are
amazing.
Cool. They are cool animals. And I guess that also goes along with what we're talking about like that Canar. And I know you guys get some like the best people with, you know, your seltzers in there and with that tiki art. But where do you guys also just kind of like have fun with the titles? And because like giraffes are cool doesn't really, that's
probably me, by the way. That's mine. Yeah,
that's yours.
Yeah, that's all me right there. So it's me and my guy Josh. And it was, the idea was, is so who drew Peachenheimer, Mike Weeks, really made this happen. The idea was I just wanted to be like, because people consider me like simple. I like to, like, you know, I don't want to overwhelm people, so I act like an idiot half the time. But it was to keep a very simple idea. Like growing up, people used to call me a giraffe, and I took it to heart. And so I was supposed to be a little kid, like basically with crowns on the wall, drawing a giraffe and giraffe school, very simple. And then Josh stopped the idea of putting it as the kid as being like a normal Rockwell, you know, like painting type character. And once we put it all together, it was amazing. And Mike put it all together for us. And we've had, he's done other ones too. We've done giraffes was the first one. It was my first like time making a West Coast for a Noble. And then we had Tigers Are Awesome. And then we did Giraffes Are No, our Dogs Are Noble. And Mike did an amazing job putting all of our dogs on the can. He didn't put the pictures. He drew them on the can, the point where they're like, you know, those crown drawings, but you can totally tell whose dog's who. Like, we've been lucky enough to have that with us. And so like, and if you guys can see this, here, I'll show you. Let me see if this works. So like, that's him too. So Tiki Tony has done all our seltzers. And Jeff Granito, okay, who is huge guys at Club 22, or Club 33. I don't know. What is it, Chris? At Disney?
Club 33?
Club 33. I was close, man. I got two numbers right. We're lucky enough to have these people. They do a lot of our can art, and it really makes a difference. It's amazing how much of a difference it makes. We're happy to have them, and they're, you know, extremely grateful for what they do.
Well, and I feel like that's also paying, again, like paying the homage to where you're at. Like, it's Disney, right? Like,
right,
Anaheim
right.
is known for Disney. So if you can get those artists, then even if they are making beer art and like can art, and even if they're putting their own spin, it's still going to be recognizable for the general public of like, oh, wait, I've definitely seen that before. And, you know, even because they're all going to have their own little thumbprint on that artwork,
yeah.
Right? And so I think that's fantastic of like bringing those artists, and also you do have some of the best artists nearby with
yeah,
Disney.
Yeah, really, really lucky, and like we get it, and like we respect it so much. Like a lot of times you see people just say, oh, it's so good that they should draw for it, but no, like the stuff they do for us, because you're right, you see what they do, and people come in because you recognize that.
Yep.
And people start recognizing their touches on the art, and they want to drink the beer. And luckily, the beer is good enough in the can as it is on the outside. But it would never get as popular as it is if we didn't have these guys drawing us these pieces on the art. It's the cover that you want to, you know, you want to open that book.
Yeah, and I think that's, as we're like talking about like that can art draws people to the beer. That beer still needs to stand with that can art. So like you can have really cool can art. But if that beer doesn't stand on its own and have great flavors like that we're having tonight, like this Naughty Sauce, you know, it's just a beer, right? It's just,
right?
It's a really cool label.
It's a cool label, but like that drastic-ness can turn you off from that brand entirely if you don't hit that mark right with a good, yeah. You know, that's the worst part about it is someone who's amazing like somebody can drink it and it can be bad to them because it doesn't meet what they saw in the packaging. And it could be a great brewery, but you never try them again because you're so disappointed by that one beer. That's the worst part about it. Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah. And that, I think that's, that is also kind of what I think is cool, like with talking to brewers like yourself, of, you know, let's push that envelope of let's make that best beer so that people do continue to drink it. And if a couple months ago, one of the brewers I was talking to, I was like, what, how do you know that you've made a good beer? And this is the best thing I've ever heard. It was like, because you want to have more than one. And I was like, that's fair. Okay, that's fair. It's so simple, but such a good, like, if you have a beer and you're like, yeah, I could have another one. Like, that's a good beer. And I've taken that to heart of like, yeah, I could have a few of these. And like with the naughty sauce, probably because I've already had the IPA, but also, but with both of these, it's like, yeah, I could drink a couple of these. Like, it would be a good day. And I feel like also with those 10% seltzers, I also would say I could drink a couple of these.
That's the problem. That's the problem right there. You could drink a couple of them. That's the problem.
You're going to be on the floor.
Yeah.
And I know that, like, you know, with, you know, everything, like, as the boom has happened, and as you, like, seen this growth and all these partnerships, what does the growth of the brew scene look like in Anaheim? Is it just still growing, or is it kind of like plateauing? What do we as,
like, I'll be honest, outsiders? Like, it's so hard to say it without sounding arrogant. I mean, I know that sounds bad, but like I'm not part of it. I'm a follower, like, more or less. Like, maybe I'm lucky enough to get good IPAs out there, but the people we have, like Mike over at Unstung with Taryn and Ronnie used to be there, and Evan and Jeremy over at Everywhere, and everybody else who's in this game right next to us are pushing out some of the best IPAs that I've ever seen in my life. Like, North Park, in my mind, down south in San Diego, is the best of the best. But they're right on par. And everybody is sharing information to the point where we're pushing new products that otherwise I wouldn't try. So, like, before Noble Labs at Ballast Point, one of the heads of R&D, but there were set limits that I heard again today at a brewery that I'm good friends with the brewer. They're kind of like, you know, they were off-putting to me because it's such a different game that we're pushing out here. So, like, in Anaheim, basically everything's IPA now. Like, we're doing the seltzers and stuff like that because, like, even though our stuff is good, we don't even bother trying to compete with everybody else because they're so far ahead of the game. We have Rip, we have Green Cheek, we have Everywhere. Like, every year these guys are winning goals in GABF and WBC. So why try to compete with that? But nonetheless, we're going to try to, you know, ride their tails until the point where we have enough money to compete with them. And then laugh them afterwards is what we do. Yeah. You know,
of course.
But it's amazing. We're really lucky, Unstung and us, to be in the community we're in right now. I feel like it's the new San Diego, more or less.
Nice.
And it's rad. And you see some people die, like breweries just fail, but nonetheless, you see a lot of community now. They didn't quite used to be there as you'd see, you know, before in San Diego. I feel like as everyone's gotten better and everybody shared information, everybody realizes how important we are to each other to make this community grow to the bigger crowd, right? Like, if distro is going to become a thing again, like, locality, like, it's all local now, but I mean, it's going to be cyclical. It's going to come back to that. And it's really going to be communities that work together to produce the best product that everybody's going to want to drink. I mean, so that's my take on it. I feel like it's, we're in a good place right now as a community over here in Orange County.
And it's almost got a pretty decent distribution. I feel like I've seen him here in Fresno. I didn't know if I mentioned.
I know, right? That's the funny thing is we are everywhere, but that's to the point where I just remember being with Dallas Point, where we were like 300,000 barrels a year across the country, right? And so, I mean, I don't know if it's going to continue to shrink down, but I feel like the quality that Southern California is creating, just not San Diego, but Orange County now, with LA too, everyone's. I mean, there's more. I'm not saying we're by any means the best. There's way better stuff everywhere across the country. But at some point in time, you want to taste everyone else, right? Yeah. Like, that's so. We have a couple of breweries around here just opened up, and they're bringing guest taps. And we have Evil Twin. We have There Does Not Exist. Like, we have breweries that aren't local that are amazing, and now everybody's getting this taste for these breweries they haven't tried before. You know, like, who hasn't tried toppling glass? A lot of people maybe not, you know. You go back, there's so many good breweries, you know, across the country that nobody's tried now. I feel like there's a new crowd that needs to try all these things and see what's up.
One with like people wanting to try things, so I guess this goes for both of you guys. Like, what is the your current distribution market? Is it within the state only, or can people get it across the country, or kind of where do you draw that line currently?
I'll go first, since I'm the sales guy. I'm on the pulse of distribution over here. We're primarily in Orange County. We distribute a little bit into like LA and Long Beach, and there's some other random spots that we'll ship beer to. Like, I know we're up in Roseville. There's a couple places in Washington that have us, but primarily Orange County. We stick to what we do best, and having mainly just me right now as the on-site sales rep. When I started, it was two of us, and the other gentleman just left, but Mike thought I was doing well enough that he let me take over Orange County as a whole. And so yeah, it's primarily Orange County. I think we're happy with the reach that we have here, and a lot of people know us well for especially our sours, in the same way that Noble does seltzers really well. Our sort of pull to primarily like the female market is sours and heavily fruited sours, different fruits, whatever's in season. But yeah, we're primarily just distributed Orange County and a couple other random spots. I was just up in Ridgecrest a couple weeks ago, which is a military town about 3 hours north of LA. And it's funny because they don't have a whole lot going on there, but they got one tap room, and the previous sales rep had a mutual friend with the owner of the tap room, and everybody up there loves our beer. I go up there, and of course it's a small town, so everybody could tell I was an outsider, and I brought my girlfriend up there with me, and everybody was just like elated to have our beer up there. So it's really cool to see, even in these little pockets that are seem sort of random and places that I've never heard before, that there's a market for craft beer that people actually acknowledge us and really show a lot of love for what we do.
Like I was speaking about earlier, is the history here. We're in Japan, Netherlands. We're in Taiwan.
Wow.
We're in Oregon, Washington, in California for the most part, with expanding upon that as we speak. So like to Arizona and other places. Nice. We're everywhere. I mean, yeah, we're trying to get bigger and bigger. And the thing is, it's hard as you get bigger to maintain quality.
Yeah.
But we're lucky enough that our team is two people, and we have, I mean, Chris seen them. We have 120 barrel tanks here that we just run by ourselves. So we have the volume to actually supply the market. We don't like it, but we do it. There's nothing worse than working your butt off every day. So yeah. we have the volume to produce like a little bigger distribution size than Unsung does. I just wish I had their system. I love it. I think the beer you guys are drinking actually brewed on that system.
Oh, there you go. See, this is a partnership made to happen.
See, right? No, they're so amazing. They're some of the best people in the industry around us. What they've done for us since I've come on at Noble 2 years ago, Mike has immediately been there from the beginning to be extremely supportive and take all the information he get out of me to use for himself.
Well, that's what we do, right?
Like the Unsung guys, person, everybody has been amazing to us over there.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, I am curious, if you guys are in like Japan, Taiwan and all, do you ship it over there, or do you guys brew a like contract brew over there as well?
No, we ship it. So they pick, these are all companies that are located locally that ship over there. So So they'll pick up over here and they'll ship it out over to like specified craft beer bars over in Japan, like Nagano, for example. I'm not sure where we are in Taiwan or in the Netherlands, but we've shipped out tons of beer there. And they keep buying it, so
it's gonna keep shipping.
You can't be mad about that.
does that create an anxiety for you as a brewer, knowing that it's gonna be like on a boat for an extended, or being shipped for an extended period of time?
It's a question that would be hard if I didn't know how our beer. So like a big thing with beer is auction, right? That deteriorates beer. So you want to know what your oxygen level is in the beer. That would basically dictate its lifespan. We're lucky enough to pull such low numbers here that I don't worry about it. I don't even think about it. It doesn't, like, And some of the beer, a lot of the beers we ship out there, like Naughty Sauce, that beer can be oxidized worse than you can imagine. It'll still taste the same. So it's kind of, you know, foolproof, you know, it's same with our seltzers too. You know, IPAs, it just doesn't bother me, to be honest with you guys. Like, it is what it is. I'm happy to be in that position.
No, that's awesome. Yeah, no, because I know that, like, with distribution, having, like, lived in Hawaii and getting mostly West Coast beer, and then now living in New York, like, there's a lot of the beer from the West Coast that I can't get now because either they don't have the distribution or they're like, we don't want to go past the Midwest for, like, hop deterioration with their IPAs and stuff. And I totally understand that. Yeah. So I was just curious if, like, that did affect how you approach brewing, knowing that it's going to go there, but also, like, Naughty Sauce, it's great. It's great. I could also see how, like, it's not going to really change much. And do you guys only do cans over there, or do you guys ship kegs as well? Just cans, right?
As we're expanding, our distributor takes kegs up to, no, we go kegs everywhere, but, like, right now, keg wise, we're not in Oregon or Washington, just cans. So, like, keg wise, we go to Nagano, Japan, and California, mostly, like, central, like, Orange County and southern in San Diego. That's where our kegs reach. Cans reach much more, like, a much larger, like scale. But keg wise, I would just say we stick in California would be a safe way to put it. I mean, there is the problem with nitro too, is a lot of times, like, we see it where we get our kegs into places and they don't realize what nitro is. So they try to put it on CO2 and it just becomes a disaster, you know, and then there's like, what's happening with this? And they call us up and we tell them what it needs to do and they don't have that and they're mad. And, you know, we told them beforehand and, you know, it's the nature of the game, you know, not everybody's a physicist and nobody wants to be really.
Although you do get one or two, you know, breweries that they're actually I do have a PhD and
no, I'm saying you have a ton of those. You do. The problem is they're not the person selling it at the bar that it's being sold at, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I know. And even some of our viewers tonight, they're also like, would love to see more beers like in Connecticut and the East Coast over here. But there is kind of that hesitation from a lot of the West Coast breweries of having it go across the country. So that's where, like, I hope that eventually, you know, there are ways that people get more comfortable, like yourself, of knowing that your oxygen level is low, knowing that the beer can sustain, and knowing that it can go from, you know, it's not going to Japan, it's going to New York or wherever. And so hopefully there are some ways to share the love, because there is amazing beer in Anaheim that normally we can't get over here. And we're lucky enough to not only get it from Unsung, from Noble Ale Works, but we also, you know, we were able to get Radiant and Bruheim and, you know, some of these beers that are really, really good beers, unique styles, but that we just, without doing a flight, I mean, we could drive technically. I don't suggest it.
Yeah, why would you do that? No. Yeah,
but take a 5-hour flight, you know, to go get the beer. I'm not saying we're not going to do that, because we will. But, you know, who needs to go to Disney? Let's just go to Noble. Let's just go to
You convince the family to go to Disney as an excuse to work your way into Noble and everybody. Yeah.
There we go.
That's how it works. That's how it works. You know, it's... Yeah.
We pull a mic and like, oh, I'm going to stay with grandma. And they, you know, hey, grandma, let's go over to, let's check this out real quick. You know, I feel like grandma would like the seltzers, right? Yeah.
No, she would. She'd love them. She'd see a new side of her.
Right on.
Nice. And then I do also want to say, Chris, that we've also have been receiving some great love in the chat for the sours over at Unsung. So I know the Nullifier is a big hit as well. So all the other beers, and, you know, so even if we're featuring, you know, these, you know, the Hazies, the Golden Stout, the beers that you guys are going for, those sours, those IPAs at Noble, like, everyone is loving these beers and everyone is loving that, you know, that dank, that fruit, you know, these are so far, and maybe people are just being polite. I don't know. But, you know,
I don't care. I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it as truth.
It's truth. It's truth. Yeah. You know, yeah. It's the best beer ever. You
our know, beer club is, folks are pretty honest.
No, they're very honest. They'll tell us. I know RJ and Jonathan will, they'll tell us the truth if it's not a good one. But, you know, as we are winding down, you know, we've heard, you know, from Unsung of like kind of the thing moving forward, but also with you, Jimmy, like with Noble, it, besides just trying to make that best IPA, what is the future for Noble? And if it is just making that good IPA, that's perfectly fine. But is there anything that like you guys want to plug besides just having people come in to drink your beer, obviously?
I'll be honest. So like our seltzers are different, and we're expanding upon the, like exactly what we insert into them. So like seltzers from a standpoint are like, you think about them as, they're like alcoholic water with flavor inserted into them. Right. But we play with texture, color, and flavor, just, you know, like to the point where it's distinctive. It's a cocktail. And so that's one line we're really pushing hard.
This is what we were talking about. I tell you, I think
Noble, they make really good beer. And having the seltzer game just expands it. So, you know, that's why not, you know, because seltzers, I don't know if you over at, if Unsung is doing any of that. Yeah, I know it's not a huge effort to make seltzers.
Yeah, it's we've dabbled in them a couple times. We for a while we're doing a line of the Jarritos, like the Mexican soda. Oh, we were doing flavors sodas, based on those. So yeah, we did like a guava flavor. We did like a limoncello flavor. But Mike the owner likes to stick to what we do best, and sours kind of have been our caveat to like the seltzer market. And people know us for our sours, and they've figured out a really cool brewing process where essentially we brew a really tart 11% beer and then just add all the fruit in on the back end. And that cuts it down to 6%. And you end up with some really good flavors where you get that tartness off the nose, and then it's cut real nicely with the fruit on the end. And there's a lot of different fruits that we've ended up using. Sometimes we'll just use one fruit, sometimes we'll use a combination. And not to gas us up, but the Nullifier, in my opinion, aside from the Peachenheimer, has been one of my favorite sours that we've ever done. I think I like the lighter fruits like the mango and the peach and the apricot. But it's really cool to see having somebody who doesn't like beer or isn't the biggest fan of bubbles, like for example my girlfriend, going back to this market of women getting into beer and seltzers, she absolutely loves the sours. They're a nice level of sweetness and sour, you know, you get a nice combination, and they figured out the right way to brew them. Sometimes we'll add in like vanilla or marshmallow to add a little sweetness on the end, and they turn out great and people love them.
That's cool. I've heard a lot of different ways of making sours, but making that 11% and then cutting the alcohol by adding in that fruit, that makes sense. If you think of it from like a brewing perspective, that makes a lot of sense of having that solid base. Cause you know, that's where a lot of those sours can be a little too much or not enough, is when you're playing with that acidulated malt and you're playing with that lactobacillus. Like, it's just, you know, it's kind of a hit or miss. But if you create that base,
the fruit purees that we use too, they add like a really beautiful color, so we see almost that magenta color that we had with the Nullifier. I still really like a nice Belgian sour that when you look at it, it just looks like a pilsner or something. It's clear. I love that. But I think having, it's the same thing with the can art. When you have a beer that the second you pour out of the can, you're like, oh, whoa, this is different. Whether it's like with the new sour that we just put out, we're still using plum, but we did it with blueberry, and it's like a dark purple. It's, you know, it catches people's eyes, and it makes people think differently about what to expect from a beer, especially sour.
Yeah. Yeah. And as we were talking earlier with like the golden stout, like, what you see affects how you're going to perceive a beer before you even smell or taste it. And so if you have that purple, that pink, everyone's like, oh, that's not a beer. That's fine.
Exactly.
So exactly. it does definitely help, which I think is awesome. And I think that's definitely, I know we have some fans on the Nullifier, and I know we have some people that are definitely going to be trying to figure out a way to get the Peachenheimer from you guys. You might be getting some requests on that, which I think is great. And same shout out to Noble for that as well. Of like, there people are coming for that, and I think that's gonna be just like, you know, Barbenheimer was like a one time thing, but people are gonna remember it. I think the Peachenheimer is gonna be people are gonna come back year after year.
I think so too.
And I know myself, I'm already calculating how I can get that snickerdoodle cookie. I might have to convince Mike to make a run for me.
A great time.
You know, but, or I'll just come over. I'll just come to Anaheim.
Yeah, come on down. Come check us out. There's enough to check out down here that you can make a whole weekend out of it, and you can enjoy all the beer you want.
Exactly. Get that direct flight to the Bob Hope Airport.
Yeah. Then I'm gonna, and then, you know, before I do a red eye back, I'm just gonna drink a 10% seltzer from Noble, and I'm gonna feel great. But we are reaching the end. This is not the end of Anaheim, as we have discussed. Anaheim is only moving forward in the beer scene, with those sours, those seltzers, the IPAs. For all my IPA lovers, you heard it from Jimmy. Go to Anaheim. Go get these news, whether they're hazies or West Coast. Even if we thought IPAs were done, they're not. They're still here. They're still sticking around. But Chris, thank you so much. We also want to say thanks to Jimmy. And thank you to all of our other breweries, Brewheim and Radiant, for providing some amazing beers and helping us hit all of those styles, of whether it's the wheats or blondes, that we just were able to really showcase Anaheim and the history there for all of our listeners and viewers and subscribers. And for everyone else, if you don't have a box and you're like, I want more beer, then obviously go to shop.citybrewtours.com. Get that box. We have new cities coming every month. There are some fantastic cities coming forward. And we're just going to keep drinking beer, keep making new friends, and just having a good time. And with that, I feel like that is a good night, everybody. And see you next month.